Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It's good to be with you on this All Saints Sunday. It's a time where we remember the saints that have gone before us, but we also keep in mind the vision of our hope. So that's what we'll be focusing on today so that we can all be in fully present with God, even as we anticipate the fullness of God's presence. So let's look at our announcements before we continue on. Just wanted to make sure that you know next week is our Coins for Missions, so bring your coins next week, and we'll collect those. If you are interested in having a pledge of the pledge envelopes, we need to get that information into the office by the 11th, so if you can communicate that with the office, we'll make sure we have those for you. As you look at the calendar in the listings here, the men's and women's groups are coming up in a week or so. And also, I want to make sure you know about the church conference on November 21st. This is where we come together as the church, and we look ahead for who's going to be serving, and other aspects of what the goals are for the year, and things like that. So you have a voice and vote as members, and so put that on your calendar if you want to be a part of that conversation. And there's still opportunities to help with the aid of the hurricane victims, and UMCOR has access for to those folks. And so if you want to give to UMCOR, your money would be going to help those folks as they recover from the hurricanes. With that, let us prepare for worship as we hear our prelude.
Please rise for the call to worship, printed in your bulletins and on the screens. Praise the God of love.
We rejoice in his abundant love.
Praise the God of hope.
We sing praise for his life-giving hope.
Praise the God of new beginnings.
We give thanks for this chance to
live. And please remain standing for our opening hymn, printed on the screens and also in your hymnal number 731. may be seated for our opening prayer, also printed in your bulletins as well as on the screen. God of new beginnings, wipe away our tears that we may come before your throne with hearts full of song and with souls on fire. Help us live as those who are prepared to die, yet know that life is everlasting by your grace through faith. May our worship this day express our hope in you. Amen. And if I could have any children come forward for a children's moment, please. Thank you.
I'm good for something.
Okay, guys, I have a question for you. I think you're both smart enough to answer this question. But what holiday did we just pass this week?
Halloween.
And when you think of Halloween, tell me what you think of. Candy? I love That's it. What good. Else do you think of? Scary stuff. What do you think of that sometimes you put out on your front porch? A jack-o'-lantern. That's what I want to talk about today is jack-o'-lanterns. So this is what I know of when I create a jack-o'-lantern. Very first thing I have to do is I have to go pick my pumpkin, right? I go to the garden center or I go to a pumpkin patch or maybe if you guys are gardeners, you go to your own garden and pick a pumpkin that'll make a good jack-o'-lantern. The second thing you do is you have to clean out the insides. And most people cut the top off. I'm going to tell you a trick. My great uncle, he always cut the bottom off. And that always worked really well for us. So I cut the bottom off. Scoop out all of the seeds and the yuck and the gross and kind of get the inside of the jack-o'-lantern all ready. Then the third thing you do is you carve the pumpkin, right? And usually we carve eyes and a nose and a mouth is what I'm not fancy. Some people can do amazing things. I just do the basics. But I do that carving. And then the last thing that I do, and it's my favorite, is that I put a candle inside of it so that it kind of glows for the world to see, everybody to see. Well, this is what I want you to think of today. Being a jack-o'-lantern, and what it takes to be a jack-o'-lantern is a lot about what it takes to be a good Christian. Guess what the first thing you have to do is? You have to pick Jesus. You have to ask him into your heart and say, this is the way I want to be. I want to follow you, Jesus. Then, once you do that, he does this amazing thing where he cleans our insides out, all of the yuck, the seeds of doubt, all of the yuck and the gross and the bad. He cleans that all out. And then he carves us. He creates us. If we allow him to, he kind of directs us into what we should do, how we should live, what we should do to serve him and to serve others here on this world. And then finally, he puts his light in us so we can shine for others. So it might be, that light might be in just a nice smile that you give to somebody. It might be in some kind words that you share to somebody. But we're going to let Jesus' light shine through us. So next year, when you carve your jack-o'-lanterns, everyone, think about also carving yourself into, allowing Jesus to carve you into being a good Christian as well. Let's have a short prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for these two special boys, and thank you for allowing us the opportunity to pick you and for you to let us serve you as you wish. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
And our next thing on the docket is to do our prayer hymn, How Like a Gentle Spirit. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4, and you can remain seated for this one.
Let us continue in this mindset of being sculptured by the one who we call upon as our one who redeems and transforms us. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we come to you this morning. We come to you on this day we call All Saints. When we look back and think about those that who have gone before us, who have walked with you, we can see how you have shaped them in their lives. We also thank you for their lives as they were the ones who helped shape us, or at least help us to open up to you, O God, so that you could, as we saw the work that you were doing. You see, oh God, we thank you that you are able to open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to see all the work that you are doing all around us. Not just in people we know, but in those around us in the community where we see that you are at work in them right now, drawing them closer to you. Lord, as you shape us, you call us into that work. You open our hearts to be able to see with the same kind of compassion and grace and mercy that you have even upon us. It is in this great work, O God, that we are able to be that light that you have already placed within us. So, Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we also have to put ourselves in your hands. You indeed are the sculptor. We have to be pliable and willing. So, Lord, we just give ourselves to you. We ask that you would take us gently as we know your Spirit is. That you would truly take us and mold us into one as more and more like Christ each and every day. May we shine brightly in a community that is dim in many different ways. We can see it every day when we go about and all the turmoil and challenges that we witness. Lord, we know we have hope. So help us to keep our eye on the hope that you are indeed the one who is guiding us through everything that occurs around us. You are our navigator as well as our sculptor. So, Lord, we just ask you to continue to lead us as we follow. Let us now share with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And friends, as we receive our offering today, know that you are indeed new creations in Christ. And it is through us being created anew that we are able to see the world around us with generous hearts. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join in this prayer of dedication. Compassionate God, who weeps with us and offers us eternal hope, we present our gifts with grateful hearts. Call us to new life and purpose through our giving. Use these offerings to build your kingdom and bring comfort to the grieving and light to those in darkness. May our contributions reflect your love and grace, transforming our community into a place of hope and renewal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated.
Did not wear a the dusty roads, and his hands were rough and brown. He was the king of all the earth, yet he laid it all aside to come show us the Father and to rescue his bride.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I'm making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "All is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will freely give water from the life-giving spring." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As a pastor, families invite me into some of their most vulnerable times of life, and perhaps end of life being the most vulnerable. For many of us, the end of life is not a topic we want to approach, but we also know that there is no avoiding it. We all deal with it differently depending on our experience. our relationships, our situations, our expectations, but also our faith and our vision of eternity. Authors, playwrights, artists, and movie makers over time have offered various descriptions and images of what they believe life after death might be like. Much of the imagery comes from the apocalyptic visions from our Bible and other ancient writings. These descriptions try to capture the majesty of God from the beauty of what we experience here on earth, like pearls and gemstones and gold. There's nothing wrong with trying to form pictures in our mind of what our future hope might look like, and I'm sure it will be beautiful, just as our current home on this earth is. However, I trust that what we have to look forward to will be even more glorious, as it is the home of God. What I want us to consider today is, how does God's home become the home of all the saints? Our text today is part of John's final vision that he shared, and his final vision that has found its place at the end of our Bibles. Well, it harkens back to the beginning of our Bibles. As I was preparing, studying, and meditating on these six verses, I kept being led to reread the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2. I was first drawn to the similarities, but then I started noticing some distinctions that differentiate the home of God for all the saints from what we experience now as home. John described his vision starting with this declaration. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." And as a comparison, the original creation story starts like this. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." I first want to say this, that God exists before anything else exists. God is, and God is the one who creates something from nothing. What God creates is always for God's purposes. So in both Genesis and Revelation, God's purpose is bringing about life. The Genesis story continued in great detail of how the formless was formed for life to exist on earth. God provided light, separated the sky from the waters, gathered the waters to their places to provide land, provided food from the land, and ordered the rhythms of day and night, the seasons of the year, and the provisions of water. In John's vision, none of these details were given. But he did mention that these former things were no more, and specifically that there was no sea. We all know without water we don't have life here on earth. Well, God's purposes of creating the new heaven and the new earth are not the same. In Genesis, God created what was needed to sustain life as we know it. In John's vision, God revealed, God created the perfect home for everlasting life. Everlasting life is not sustained like life bound by time. Actually, at the conclusion of verse 6 in today's text, we are told what the water of life is that sustains life for all the saints whose home is the new earth. John wrote, "To the thirsty, I will freely give water from the life-giving spring." This water is not water at all. Jesus spoke of this water while he was walking this earth. If we look back, John wrote about this in his gospel when Jesus taught in the temple during the festival of booths that symbolized the Jews' history of wandering in the wilderness and tents as they waited for a permanent home with God in the promised land. Jesus at that festival shared about his origin being with his Father in heaven, the one who sent him to save his people. And then in John's gospel, he described, on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, "All who are thirsty should come to me. All who believe in me should drink. As the scriptures said concerning me, rivers of living water will flow out from within him." Jesus said this concerning the Spirit. So God didn't only create the perfect home for everlasting life. God provided God's own Spirit to sustain life for all eternity. Now, we have received the Holy Spirit from God in our baptisms in the name of Jesus Christ, through whom the rivers of living water flow. So we, along with all the saints, are the first fruits of the Spirit of the living God. In John's vision, after he saw the new heaven and the new earth, that is the perfect home for everlasting life, he shared this. He says, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Before I remind us of the Genesis story, I want us to think first about the references in the Gospels and the New Testament letters about the relationship between Jesus and the church. Jesus called himself the bridegroom when he justified his disciples' fasting habits. And then Paul makes the connection more directly when he taught how husbands should treat their wives, writing, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." See, in John's vision, it is the church. All the saints who have been made holy through their covenant relationship with Jesus that is coming from God as new creations to inhabit the new earth. Now in Genesis we are told, "And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So what is the difference here from John's vision? The former earth, as John called it, produced the living creatures. And it is from the ground that humanity came. We also know that our bodies are returned to the dust from which we came when we die. However, as with Jesus in his resurrected body, we will not have a body that comes from the earth, from God. We will not be creatures of dust, but rather formed for eternal life in the likeness of the resurrected Christ. You see, God populates new earth with those created new in Christ. Friends, we are already in the process of being made new through the work of the Holy Spirit. As we give ourselves more fully to the Lord and this work, we become more holy and are more active as agents of bringing aspects of heaven to earth as we pray every week in the Lord's Prayer. Our witness in the world is an invitation for others to meet Jesus and accept his offer of a new life in him. So at this point in our text, God has created the perfect home for eternal life, provided the eternal life-giving Spirit, and populated new earth with the bride of Christ, made new and holy. And then John continued with his vision, writing, I heard a loud voice from the throne say, look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them and they will be his peoples. God himself will be with them as their God. There is a definitive declaration made here regarding God's purposes for a new heaven and new earth. Coming from the throne, that is from the place of all authority, it is made known that God will make this the home of God. When I studied the Genesis creation story, nowhere was a declaration made that the former earth would be called God's dwelling place. Yes, God was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but this is only revealed when God was looking for them after they hid because they had ate the forbidden fruit. And it wasn't but a few verses later that God's presence was removed from them. However, for all eternity, we are assured God fills the new earth with the fullness of God's presence. And then what difference will God's presence in this way make? Well, John shared, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Then the one seated at the throne said, look, I'm making all things new. And then he said to me, all is done. In the Genesis creation story, before the fall of humanity and the introduction of sin into the world, God declared all that he created was very good. However, out of our creatureliness, out from the ground reality, and I believe from the authority that we were given to rule the earth, we were bent towards sinning and were overcome by it to the point of death. But through God's initiative to redeem us, God made a way for all to be made new in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Removing all sin and death from existence in the new creation. So with sin and death no longer, God declares the new creation along with the saints good and holy. This work of God is done. The home of God and the home for all the saints is complete. Jesus himself declared from the cross, it is finished. This is the hope we have to look forward to and the faith in which we say, see you later to those who have gone before us. On this All Saints Sunday, may we capture the vision the Apostle John first received. The home of God is the home for all the saints. It is God's purpose to provide the perfect home for everlasting life, to sustain life by God's own Spirit, to populate the new earth with all the saints created new in Christ, to fill it with the fullness of God's presence, to live forever with all the saints, eternally good and eternally holy. So now, even as we remember those we dearly miss, may we be filled with joy as we anticipate eternity with all the saints. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite those helping with the remembering of the saints, lighting the candles and ringing the bell. Please come forward. Friends, as we remember our saints, I want to remind any family members that are here after the service, you're welcome to one of the lit candles in honor of your loved one. We're going to read the roll of the victorious over this past year. Glenn Harner. Eileen Beeson, Eugene Foyles, Roy Whitaker. Marcella Helgeson. Clarence Denon. William Turner. Larry Russell. Dolores Mays. Bonnie Weimer. Margaret Mercer. Adelia Barone. And at this time, I invite you all to just share a name that is in your family member that has passed over this past year, and we'll light a candle for all of them. John Cavanaugh. Gracious God, we entrust these folks to you, knowing that they are in your presence. May our hearts be warmed by your Spirit, as we know it is aligned with theirs. Amen. At this time, we are transitioning into the sacrament of Holy Communion. And on this All Saints Sunday, as we are represented with these candles, it is with the saints, as the Lord, the one who we worship, is with them, is also with us. So with that in our minds, let us first take a moment for us to place ourselves before the Lord, knowing that we are still a work in progress, as the Lord works in us to make us holy and blameless. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. It is in the name of Jesus that we are forgiven. Amen. It is right for us to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty. Creator of heaven and earth, we recognize you are God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and all the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, and of our children and children of all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name, O God. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. It is by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection that you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant, a covenant by the water and by your Spirit. And then it was on the night in which he gave himself up for us that Jesus took bread. And he gave thanks to you, O God, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken and given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and says, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So, Lord, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we have named before you today. And since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. So it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Friends, our table is set here at the United Methodist Church. We have an open communion, which means all who have put their faith in Christ are welcome to the table. We will be serving in the pews this morning, so the ushers will provide you with the bread first, and we will take that together, and then they will return with the cup, and then we will take that together, and we'll close our time with the table with prayer. We do have gluten-free. If you need it, let the ushers know, and we can make sure you have that. Ushers, would you please wait on us? This is the body of Christ, which gives us new life. Take and eat. Jesus said, "All who thirst, come to me and drink." Take drink. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for this meal that you draw us to. That you have given us this hope by letting us know that within this meal, that your presence is with us. May we experience your presence in a new way, in a special way, that we may truly hold on to the vision of our hope of eternity. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for our closing hymn, "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God." It is in your United Methodist Hymnals, number 712.
we are being made new as saints in the waiting, if you will. Those who have gone before us are saints in the presence of God, and we are all looking forward to meeting them once again. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.